Hey, guys.
Hey, everybody.
This is Zach.
This is Stuart.
And this is the Backrow Super Show. This is a convention coverage episode. This is a little bit different than what we've done in the past.
Because
normally what we do is both of us will get passes to attend a con, and then we provide coverage of what experiencing that con was like.
Yeah, what kind of panels we went to, what events we went to, and things along those lines.
Yeah, and this is similar to that, except I was the one that went to this convention. Stuart was not there, so
I was not.
I'm just going to kind of fill him in on what I did at this particular convention.
Yeah, so Zach hasn't told me really anything that he's done at this convention. So I've got a couple of questions for him, just to sort of see what it was like, because this is definitely not my particular con, but it was right up your alley.
Yes, yes. I loved this. So
and you went with your wife, too.
Yeah, my wife and I both went to Dark Side of the Con 3, obviously the third year that they've been doing it. This was back in March, so this was March 29th through 31st of 2019.
Yeah, I'm sure you'll throw up a link to their site.
Yes, show notes. I'm going to put all the links and stuff like that in the show notes. This was put on by a group called Vampire Freaks, which I don't know if you know what
that
is. I
have no idea what Vampire Freaks are.
So, in the
Freaky Vampires?
I want to say in the early 2000s, kind of with the boom of, like, nascent social media, it was kind of a social media group dedicated towards people in the goth or darker communities.
So, MySpace, but for goth folks.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so you have a profile stuff, and it's still in operation.
Oh, wow,
I'll throw
really?
Up a link to it. The link to Dark Side of the Con, obviously, is darksideofthecon.com.
Yeah.
This particular one was in Parsippany, New Jersey.
Okay. So it's in New Jersey.
Yes.
Wow, yeah.
Yeah, we drove up. We didn't make it in one shot. We actually stopped off in Virginia, in Philadelphia, catch up with people there, and then spent the weekend in New Jersey at this particular convention.
I'm amazed that you guys drove that far.
No, it was really fun. Like, both of us wanted to go to the one last year. We just, you know, didn't have the hotel points, basically, to justify it.
Yeah. But how did you find out about this con? Like,
so, I found out about it through social media, in looking up some of the places that we've gone to for previous convention coverage.
Yeah.
We mainly stick to the ones here in Atlanta and the ones in the surrounding areas because that's where we're based.
Yeah, and it's easy to drive there.
Yeah, exactly. But given, I guess, my other browsing histories, I guess this was suggested in one of the social media links, so I clicked on it, read about it, and was like, oh man, why am I not going to this? Why am I not there? So this year we made the concerted effort to get up there and go.
Nice.
It's billed as North America's Dark Alternative Convention.
Ooh.
And I've been to, on one of the episodes where Richard was co-hosting, I talked about going to Convergence, which is a dark alternative music festival.
Again, yeah. I've never heard or been there.
So that one travels around.
Mm-hmm.
That one is more definitely a music festival.
Okay.
There are vendors there, but it's primarily a music festival.
Yeah.
This is actually a full-on convention.
Yeah, with
there's
panels.
Lots of panels going on. I'm going to talk about a couple of the ones I went to. I didn't go to as many panels as they had offered because there were so many vendors there. There was so much music. A large part of it was the music and dance parties and stuff like that.
Cool.
But it was a full-on convention.
Yeah.
It was in a huge Sheraton that was very thematically appropriate because it looks like a gigantic castle.
That's cool.
It looks like a castle that has been plucked out of Eastern Europe somewhere and dropped in the middle of New Jersey.
Now, do you think that's the reason they chose this site? Or
was
it just happy coincidence?
I'm sure that theming went into that discussion, but I don't, not having access necessarily to all of the press information, I have no clue.
No, okay.
Because that's the other thing, is that we just attended this, and I wanted to talk about it because I feel like it's a good platform, since we have a podcast,
yeah,
to talk about cool things that we like, and get the word out. Like,
yeah. And again, we do Concast, so yeah. I definitely think that this is a nice avenue. Yeah.
And you know, just full disclosure, I was not there as press or identified as press, so I'm not going to quote anyone, not going to... I'll talk about some of the topics and panels, but I'm not going to discuss any quotes or...
Or numbers,
anything
yeah.
like that. Like, although I will say, comment on that, it was packed. Yeah. I would be very surprised if this did not go on next year, because it's very good.
Nice. So yeah, you normally, when we do our con coverage, we talk to like attendees. You guys didn't really like and ask them questions.
We talked to attendees, yeah. But we didn't get like.
But you were interviewing them or anything.
Yeah,
like that,
exactly.
So, yeah,
much more laid back. I guess starting out Friday, because we were driving in from Philly, which isn't very far away from it, but it's far enough away that we still had like. Travel fatigue.
Yeah.
We only went to a couple things. My wife follows and really likes Black Friday. She's a YouTuber.
Oh, okay. I have no, yeah.
And she,
what does she do?
Well, so she's from New Zealand. I believe she lived in Germany for a little bit. And then now she's back in New Zealand, I think.
So they flew her out from New Zealand?
I don't know if they did or not, but I know she was there for a meet and greet.
Oh, that's cool.
Usually with guests, they'll do that, but I don't know the particulars behind that.
Mm-hmm.
So
what does she do on YouTube? Like, just talk, or...?
Yeah, it's like kind of like a...
Vlogging?
Video vlog, or yeah, vlogging.
Okay.
Product reviews, things like that. I'm not entirely familiar, because I haven't watched a whole lot of the videos.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's cool that she did meet.
But yeah, she was very nice. Yeah, very, very nice. She was, I think, doing stuff on Instagram with it while she was there. So
cool.
You can kind of see some of her stuff. And I'll throw up links to her show and her YouTube channel, all of that.
Yeah, Black Friday, right?
Yeah, Black Friday. But it was a meet and greet. There was a huge line of people there to meet. And she was very friendly.
Okay. So question. Did you guys dress up at all for any of the like parts of this convention?
I mean, yeah, like, we wore clothes.
Yeah, I mean, like,
oh, you
cosplay
meant like, oh, yeah.
Or...
No, there was less, it was less cosplay-focused. Yeah. There were a couple people I saw, they're on my Instagram, which I'll throw up links to it, but there were a couple of cool cosplayers. One of them was cosplaying as Dr. Doom.
That's cool.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
There was a Ghost Rider there.
Nice.
There was... what I'll call Gentleman Cthulhu, where he was dressed in, like, Edwardian clothes with a monocle and a top hat, but then a Cthulhu mask.
Yeah.
Which was very cool.
Well, that's awesome.
Yeah. And then, obviously, a lot of the clothing choices.
Yeah, because, I mean, it's kind of like goth vampire sort of...
Yeah, a lot of...
a lot of blacks.
Lace, a lot of vinyl, leather, studs, lots of that stuff.
Cool.
The music guest that we saw last, on the Friday was Stabbing Westward. They were a band, they were bigger, I think, when I was in, like, high school, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And so I definitely had to check them out and see them play. So yeah, it was really interesting to see.
So what kind of, like, music or sound did they have?
Alternative, kind of like, if you ever listened to kind of Orgy, something like that.
Mm. Okay.
You know, just, you know, early 2000s type alternative radio.
Oh,
stuff.
Cool.
Yeah. Kind of like a Marilyn Manson, but not quite metal.
Okay.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. So the singer sort of had that same, like, voice or?
Kind of.
Okay.
Yeah. And then so after that we turned in because again travel fatigue.
Yeah.
Saturday was honestly probably the biggest day.
Yeah. Saturdays are most
packed.
Yeah.
We started off our convention on Saturday going to a bats panel. Bats. This was, yeah, so like, it was...
the actual
like, yeah,
animal.
Like actual bats. Okay. There was a guy there, his, again, links will be in the show notes, it's njbatman.com and thebatcave.org. He runs a rescue organization for
bats. Oh, that's
bats.
Really cool.
And he, so he was kind of filling us in. I know with what I do for work, there is unfortunately a disease among bat populations across America.
I didn't know that.
That's killing them off, and it's very contagious. And basically the way it started is it started up north somewhere where a cave diver in Europe did not properly clean off their stuff, and then they dived in New Jersey, New York, somewhere, and the bats got in contact with it. It's white nose. It's just fungusy buildup.
Ew.
It's kind of disgusting. But it's very unfortunate that it's affecting our bats. It's killing them. He mentioned if you notice a spike in mosquito numbers, that's why.
Yeah, bats really, like, kill off a lot of mosquitoes. So.
Yeah. Yeah, they... it was really interesting being there. He had... He brought a bat with him. Didn't obviously let it loose, and
of course,
but
not.
it was interesting. He was very very personable, very very much like, this is my first time coming to one of these things. I normally give these talks at like schools and stuff,
or like zoos,
like stuff like that. But it was really interesting. We donated to his charity.
That's awesome.
Bought the shirt. Nice. Took the ride. Bought the ticket.
Was there a lot of people at this panel?
This panel was packed. Mm. Like, we had to get there early and kind of line up before we could come in.
Because,
a lot of people were interested in this. And I want to say it was the first panel of the day. One of the first panels of the day. And so a lot of people were there, which was really surprising, because normally the first panel on a con is
especially on a Saturday.
Lightly attended, yeah.
Yeah, after people had partied on Friday, usually.
Yeah.
Kind of hard to wake up at 10 in the morning.
But yeah, no, he had a lot of good information to share. He has a really fascinating history where he just kind of started doing this as a way of expressing an interest, and it kind of went out from there, where he just kind of expanded the bats that he was taking in as zoos and things closed down.
Well, that's cool.
Health and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But all of that can be found on his websites, which I'll post links to. He, I'm sure, can take donations through his website as well, if you're interested in giving a donation to a worthy cause.
Nice.
We took in a show from a group called, I think it's a group. There was just one performer there from Glassapple Bonsai. It was actually one of the vinyls that we were playing when we were playtesting that game.
Oh, cool.
We were coming up with. So, yeah. It's
that was
kind of like Outrun. Do you know the Outrun genre? It's like, it's kind of like soundtrack to 80s movies that did not exist, if that makes sense. Like Tommy 86 and Perturbator are a couple of the groups out there that do this, but they're very synth heavy. It was a really good show. It was kind of electro, very 80s.
Is that where you got the vinyl from?
Yeah, that's where we got the vinyl.
Okay.
He also is a vintage arcade and pinball fanatic. So we were talking with him after his set about, coming up through Virginia. We stopped at the pinball museum.
Oh.
And yeah, I mean, he at least said that he would check it out on his thing, but yeah.
Yeah. But that's cool that he spent some time talking with you guys.
Well, and because we were one of the first so many people to buy some of his stuff, like the little pinball puzzle type thing that we have.
Oh yeah.
He made that. And so it was included as part of kind of a giveaway if you were the first so many people to buy one of his stuff.
But that's really cool.
His the person working his merch table was telling us that, he kind of skews more towards outdated recording styles. So he had a lot of cassettes there. I don't think The vinyl, sets, I think, came with a digital download, but I don't think that he had CDs available. She mentioned, I couldn't tell if she was joking or not because it was still kind of early for me, but that they used to have reel-to-reel recordings.
Oh, wow.
Which would be interesting to find a way to play those, so I'm pretty sure that that was a joke.
I'm not sure how much those would sell.
If you're interested, again, I'll throw up a link.
Yeah, but I really enjoyed the vinyl that you put on.
Yeah, it was really good. It's kind of pretty Hate Machine era Nine Inch Nails, but not industrial. Mm-hmm. So it's like that late 80s type sound.
Yeah, it's a very cool kind of music to vibe to. So.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Went to a panel called Glitches of the Goth, Gothic Themes and Subculture Throughout Video Games.
Oh, okay.
So this is pretty
extensive.
These are
some of the panels that I would enjoy. Yeah.
Yeah, well,
even, not being super big into the goth culture, that still sounds kind of cool.
Yeah, no, it was really fascinating. And this was less question and answer, although there was that section, but it was more lecture-based, mm-hmm. so there were a lot of slides that the panelist had. Started out with talking about point-and-click adventures, which, that's... I didn't think that he would go back that far, or that there was material enough to go back that far, but I can definitely see there being plenty of stuff to draw from.
Like, from what kind of games era. They talk about?
I didn't get any of the names down. Okay. Like, he was just commenting on the themes throughout, but the first real one that he really went into was Castlevania.
Yeah, yeah.
That's just kind of the go-to for the first big one. And, mm-hmm. He talks some about the designer of that, Koji Igarashi, designing Bloodstained Ritual of the Night, which is coming out soon, I think. I think it's in early access right now.
So it's a Kickstarter game. There you can, if you donate to their Kickstarter, I think their Kickstarter is already closed because they made
a bunch of money.
You could get this demo of the particular game. And yeah, it's a very heavily influenced by Castlevania. And Castlevania is a very influential game.
Yeah.
With its tones as well as its gameplay.
Yeah.
Because it was a lot of that same platforming, but you would get upgrades which would allow you to explore the castle even more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's even a term for that type of game that that Jeremy Parrish coined called Metroidvania, which mm-hmm. it, like, when you spawn an entire genre of game... there's obviously, something to be mined there.
Yeah, and with it having, Dracula and all of the, gothic themes, I can see how that would be a game to bring up.
Yeah. And let's see, I'm just going to go through some of these other genres that he talked about and see if we've played them before.
Right? Okay.
And I think that, this might be an interesting way of covering it. We have action RPGs. He mentioned Devil May Cry, which I love.
I've played it, yes. Have you played the new one?
No,
Devil May Cry
5. I have not. I only played the first two.
No.
I have not played any of the others because
I... Play 5. 5 is fun.
I don't want my heart to get broken.
It's not going to get broken. 5 is good.
Okay.
Yeah.
He talked about how all of the copycats came out after that. So, Dante's Inferno is one, which I played... I liked it for what little story there was in there, but I definitely see how it was a copycat.
I never played that game.
He brought up Bayonetta, yes. which is a copycat, but I have in my notes here, but better? Question mark.
It's
own thing.
It is
not
its own
necessarily
thing.
A copycat, which the panelists made sure to bring that up.
Yeah,
but it's still
platinum.
Draws heavily from that.
Yeah, and it's a platinum game, so, same genre and everything like that. But yeah, it's a beat-em-up, and I really enjoy Bayonetta. I played both of the Bayonetta and Bayonetta 2.
Yeah.
And did you ever play Bayonetta?
The first one, not the second.
Okay.
Because I never had a... It was only on Switch, right?
Yeah, which was super weird that, Nintendo would take up that IP. Because it's not a...
It's not a kid-friendly one, so it's odd that they took it up.
Yeah.
So then another one was American McGee's Alice, which I never played because... I've never really used PC, so I've never gotten into PC gaming, but, like, I remember that one being one I saw advertised heavily in video game magazines when I was in, like, high school.
Yep. It was in Hot Topics, too. You could, like, buy the t-shirt.
Yeah, well, I just remember looking at all the art and in the ads for it, and this is pre-YouTube, so I can't see gameplay, but it's like, wow, this is awesome. What is this? I have to know what this is. And I was just like, oh, I'll never play it because I don't have a PC.
The art direction was very unique and it was very avant-garde.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I can see how it was very influential. But, yeah, I remember seeing, like, some of the art in the Hot Topic stores where people get their black t-shirts with Alice on it and stuff like that. So, yeah.
Talked about survival horror, Resident Evil, obviously. Love, Silent Hill, obviously, I love.
Yeah. You know, Parasite they did the remake, Resident Evil 2?
Yeah, I did. I haven't played it yet, though.
Have you played Resident Evil 2?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Maybe you had.
Parasite Eve, which I would argue is more RPG, but I do, like, it came out around the same time, so it's... I can definitely see it has survival horror and also RPG elements, more so than Resident Evil.
Yeah. It was definitely a copycat of Resident Evil. It had that, like, same engine and everything. I think he even brought that up.
Yeah. But Fatal Frame, which I've never played but heard of.
That's a fun game, yeah.
Amnesia, which I've never played or heard of. I've never heard of Amnesia.
I haven't heard of that one, too.
I know you don't like horror games as much. But...
Not as much, but, like... Fatal Frame was interesting. I'm surprised that they kind of put it in the goth genre, because that's more of, like, supernatural.
Well, so the panel was on theme and subculture.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Outlast, which never played.
Neither have I.
Heard of it, never played. Evil Within, I've played it. I liked it. I think that it's good to see that these types of games are still being made.
Yeah, yeah. There's definitely a audience for those games who will buy them.
Yeah. We also talked about Cosmic Horror with Call of Cthulhu, Bloodborne, and a lengthy discussion on From Software.
Yeah.
Because FromSoft is, like, that's kind of their wheelhouse at this point. Other than Armored Core, didn't they make Armored Core?
I'm not 100% sure.
I think they did. So I think,
boy, did I love Armored Core.
Well, I think that their wheelhouse so far has been Armored Core, which, if anyone listening doesn't know, is just a mech fighting game where mechs.
Yeah, it's very unique.
And then Bloodborne, Dark Souls, all those types of games. Uh-huh. So we also talked about Cyberpunk, which focused mainly on Deus Ex.
Yeah.
He brought up Snatcher, which I'd never heard of.
I've never heard of that either.
So, you know, very knowledgeable panelists, because I've never heard of some of the games.
Yeah.
But it gave me stuff to look up afterwards. Mentioned Shadowrun on the Genesis and SNES, which I have played those. I love those games dearly, even though I know they're garbage.
Yeah. I played Shadowrun Legacy on the PC.
Oh, okay.
It's sort of like a little bit different. Yeah. It's kind of like Diablo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mentioned Transistor and Valhalla.
Really?
Transistor? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Treating it like it's references to, like, The Matrix, because The Matrix was really another pulling point from this, because it's focusing on subculture as
and
well.
And Brawlhalla?
Valhalla.
Oh, okay. There's another game called
Brawlhalla. Yeah, no, yeah. Okay. No, Valhalla.
Okay.
And then Cyberpunk 2077.
Yeah.
Brought up...
Fantastic.
It's going to be so fantastic, but it's probably going to be on PS5.
That's fine. That's fine by me.
The, topic then shifted to vampires.
Yeah. I know what you're going to talk about. Vampire the Masquerade?
I'll get there.
Okay.
So, Legacy of Kain, which I love the first Legacy of Kain.
Never Blood played Omens. It.
Oh, it's so good.
Huh.
What
did it come out on?
PS1.
Oh.
And then Soul Reaver, which is kind of an offshoot of Legacy of Kain, same universe.
Yeah.
Blood Rain, Skyrim, Dawnguard.
Okay.
Vampyr. Vampire. Yeah, V-A-M-P-Y-R.
Yeah, Vampire.
Which I really want to play it just based on the screenshots, but I've heard
it's kind of janky.
Not so good.
Yeah, so I haven't played it, but I've seen people play it. And it's an interesting storyline, but yeah, the gameplay is kind of janky.
Yeah. He also mentioned a game that, or actually one of the audience members brought up a game, I think, that he brought up some screenshots of that was called Dawnwatch that I've never heard of, but it's apparently a Capcom game that's a Western vampire.
Huh.
It's like a Western game.
I've never heard of it either.
Yeah, which I really want to play now. Like, that's a deep pull.
Oh, that's cool.
Talked about Vampire the Masquerade Bloodlines.
Yes.
Referenced the failed MMO, but then showed a trailer that's coming out Q1 of 2020 for Vampire the Masquerade Bloodlines 2.
Yeah, so they recently released on Steam the Vampires the Masquerade Bloodlines, where you could buy it and play, like, the old one. And, boy, does it still have some of the bugs that was released with.
I know it's just a trailer, and this game is still, what, 10 months out?
Yeah.
It looks like Cyberpunk 2077, but with vampires.
Yeah, that should be interesting, because, I mean, Cyberpunk looks fantastic, but I remember playing the original Vampire the Masquerade Bloodlines, and, again, it's very hard to play because...
Never played it.
Well, no, it doesn't really give you much direction.
Oh, okay.
And it kind of gives you this, like, strange open world thing of you're a vampire, you can
Which
do certain things.
Which that wasn't a thing at the time.
Yeah.
So I'm surprised they didn't, like, hold your hand a little bit more. We're just like, go to it.
Yeah, exactly. And there wasn't much instructions, so it was a really hard game to kind of get into and follow.
Yeah.
So... But now, if you want to, you can get it on Steam for, I think it's pretty cheap, but it still has a lot of the bugs and jank, so.
Okay.
Maybe enjoy that until the sequel comes out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, after that panel, the next thing we did was we saw Adoration Destroyed play. I really like this band. They're from Austin, Texas.
Okay.
We saw them play at Convergence in Dallas a couple years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I really like they played a set at the church, which is a bar in Dallas.
Oh,
Really, really good set. Really good set this time as well.
What kind of sound are they?
More dark alternative.
Okay.
It's less synth, more guitar.
Okay, so they actually had, like, instruments, and they were playing.
Yeah.
That. Yeah.
Yeah. They're a really good band. I highly recommend them.
Did you end up getting any merch from them as well, or?
I did not.
Okay.
Unfortunately.
You don't, I mean, you don't have an endless amount
find,
of money.
Well, I also couldn't find their merch table.
Oh, okay.
Because it was all in the, so, like, all the bands were playing in pretty much the same room.
Mm-hmm.
And so people would switch out merch.
Yeah.
And so there was still stuff from Glass Apple Bonsai and whoever played after him.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, okay, well, I'll come back in an hour or two. And then it was a different band stuff. So I don't know if I just didn't see where it was or if I just missed it entirely.
But, now, did they have bands playing, like, throughout the entire day?
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. Every day.
Uh-huh. You could just sit there and just listen to bands if you wanted to.
Yeah. Huh.
Oh, that's
pretty
cool.
Yeah, it was really, really cool.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I know that the people in Adoration Destroyed are awesome because they like, occasionally, the photos that my wife posts of our dogs
on
Instagram.
Okay. Oh, cool.
Social media is wonderful.
Yeah, so a good way to meet a bunch of people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then we went to the Nightmare Before Christmas Shadowcast.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Someone was putting on a Shadowcast of Nightmare Before Christmas,
wow.
And it was fantastic.
Was it like scene by scene?
Yeah. It was a Shadowcast. It was people were in costume. People were singing along with the movie.
That's really cool.
Yeah, which, you know, it.
And, can you define what Shadowcast is? Yeah,
so Shadowcast basically is where there's a movie being screened, and then a troupe of actors will act out the scenes in front of what's being played on either the screen or a projector or a wall or whatever. Mm-hmm. So you're kind of getting a side-by-side play version of it next to the film version of it. So this, I think shadow casting was first a thing with Rocky Horror.
I believe so as well.
And so down here in Atlanta, at least, I'm not familiar with many outside of Rocky Horror doing a shadow cast.
Yeah, Lips Down on Dixie, which is our local Rocky Horror Picture Show
troupe.
Yeah.
But, you know, I was kind of talking with my wife after it, and my suspicion is that there are more theatrical avenues given the proximity to New York. Because based on the people that we were speaking to, we were one of the small group of people who drove from way far away. Like, the majority of people were from, you know, the tri-state area.
The area, yeah, okay.
So given the proximity to New York and Philadelphia, New Jersey, I'm sure, has its own theater scene, it's not as much of a problem to fill an entire cast of dancers and actors and singers and people who can do all of them.
Yeah.
And yeah. Like, so it was really fantastic to see them. The props they had were fantastic.
Well, that's cool.
Santa Claus gave me some peppermints, which was great.
You mispronounced it. It's Santy Claus.
Oh yeah. Sandy Claus, Mr. Sandy Claus. So yeah, that was fun. We went to the charity burlesque.
Going on. So another burlesque.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there were some people from Tennessee there.
Oh.
Which is still closer than Atlanta, so we still drove a long way to get there. But yeah, it was a nerdlesque up there, which there were really cool performances where that utilized props in a way that I've never seen before.
Oh, cool.
Like, one of the performers was performing as Sally from Nightmare Before Christmas.
Yeah.
And her prop was a fake leg mm-hmm. that she sewed on, which, I mean, she was basically just hiding her leg behind whatever she was sitting on.
Yeah, but that's still...
And acting like she was sewing it on mm-hmm. and then taking it off and then, yeah. So, there was that. There was a dancer that did a full transformation from a full-on wolf bodysuit.
Wow.
Which was fantastic.
Yeah.
So if you're ever at a convention and you see a charity burlesque going on, or you see nerdlesque doing something, or anything like that, 9 times out of 10, well, in my experience, 10 times out of 10.
Yeah.
I can't think of a single time I've gone to a burlesque at a con and it not have been for charity.
Yeah, usually
they're usually for charity.
Yeah. Like, if you've listened to our 221B con review, we also went to that burlesque show, and it was for charity. And it was also really fantastic.
It was really good. Really good performers. Mm-hmm. They're just fun shows to go to.
So, did they have an overarching theme, or were there, like, some people who were being the MCs?
Yeah, there. One of the performers was the MC.
Mm-hmm.
There were, what are they called, stage kittens that were also doubling as performers in some instances. So, yeah, it was a full-on show. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
Was it a pretty packed house?
Yeah. Yeah. It was a pretty full, because it was the same stage where the music shows were. It was a pretty packed house.
Well, that's awesome. That's great.
And then the last thing that we did on Saturday was we kind of went around to the different dance rooms. So we went to one that was just alternative music. It's what you would expect to hear in a club.
Yeah.
Especially an alternative club.
Mm-hmm.
We went to one dance room that was pretty hilarious because the theme was emo versus 90s dance party.
Okay.
And so it was like, the DJs would play, like, My Chemical Romance, and then, like, Avril Lavigne, and then Panic at the Disco, and then Nirvana, and, like, it was really cool, but it was just very, like,
jarring.
What is this? Like, it sounds like my iPod playing. This is fantastic.
Now, did people dress up for the dance?
Some people did. Some people dressed up like candy ravers and stuff
That's
like that.
That's awesome.
But yeah.
Yeah, was there a lot of glow sticks? Did you see?
Yeah, I saw some, like, glow necklaces and stuff. Oh, but cool. Yeah, it's just what you'd see at a regular
con
yeah. Around here. And then
I have to ask just because, you know, it's one thing that I enjoy doing. Was there any karaoke? Was there
not that I'm aware of, but there may have been.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know my love for karaoke.
Yeah,
so.
I don't know because I did not go to any of that because I don't do karaoke unless it's like in a private venue.
Yeah, and you.
Yeah, I'm only there with people that I know, so... Yeah. I don't know. I was
just
sure
wondering.
There probably was because they had the room for it.
Okay, that's cool.
Because yeah, like this convention took over like the entire floor,
which is awesome.
Which is fantastic.
Yeah.
Sunday, so just saw three bands on Sunday. Mm-hmm. Other than Dealer Room. Hijinks.
Yeah, how was the Dealer Room? I mean, was it fairly...
Well, I say Dealer Room. So they had a room in the very front of the convention that had stuff like candles, leatherworks. I actually got a new wallet there because my other one was just horrible and falling apart.
Yeah.
Gotta
have a good wallet.
Memorabilia, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
In the halls lining pretty much the entire venue were different bands selling stuff.
Okay, so that's where...
candles.
Yeah.
Obscura was there, which... there was a show called Antiques and Oddities that was focused on an oddities store in New York called Obscura, and they were there. I bought a print from a Mexican horror pulp comic from like the 40s or 50s.
That's
really cool.
Yeah.
There were people selling pins, hats, clothing. Yeah. They had two additional dealer rooms in the very back that were even bigger than the first one.
Wow.
There was a lot of stuff being sold there. It was
That's pretty amazing.
It really made me wish that I
lived closer
and had won the lottery. There was a guy that made lamps and things out of resin molds of, like, here's the vertebra, here's a skull, and then there's a light off of it. Like, really
unique
houseware type stuff. Really cool looking.
Huh.
Talking with them, we were like, do you make chandeliers? Like, bone chandeliers?
Yeah.
And she's like, yeah, I make chandeliers. I can make chandelier.
That's really cool.
There was a... because I always like looking for the vendors that do not know what they've signed up to be there for. Because like, I went to a horror convention, Days of the Dead, down here in Atlanta, and there were people there selling jam, but not like themed spooky jam.
Just like
it was
regular
like,
jam.
Yeah, I think the name of the people were like Fairywood Thicket or something. Like I was expecting to pick up flavors of like zombie guts or whatever. And it was like... carrot cake.
Yeah.
And
they just kind of looking
the jam
around.
Jam was good, but it didn't fit thematically.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I thought that I had that at first until I was actually interacting with them. There was a confectioner up there that was selling caramels, which I bought like six bags for the road trip back, which were
You do
delicious.
Love your candy.
Cookies, stuff like that.
Yeah.
And then, you know, there was people selling makeup, art prints,
well, that's cool.
Books, stuff like that.
It sounds like it was pretty big and that there was pretty much anything that you could...
Yeah, anything that you would want to buy or see or interact with someone about was there.
Yeah.
Like on Saturday, you know, I had a really long conversation with someone outside of the convention where we were just talking about, you know, tabletop role-playing games.
Oh, that's cool.
Vampire and the differences between 4th and 5th edition D&D and how much we both liked both for different reasons. And it was just a very good atmosphere to be in.
Nice. Yeah, that leads me to another one of my questions. Was there any, like, gaming rooms or... I don't think it would be theme appropriate, but maybe there were.
There was a gaming room. I stuck my head in, and I can't remember. I think it was kind of bring your own game. So when you brought games, you could like set up an area in there and play with other people that are there who may not have played.
Or there was demo a game or something.
Room.
Really?
Played a couple songs on either Guitar Hero or Rock Band. I can't tell either one of them apart, so I don't know which one. But
they're pretty interchangeable.
Yeah, I mean, they had a video gaming room in there as well.
Well, that's cool.
It was just a really good time. Sunday, we just did three things. We just saw three performers and then headed out. Abby Death, which, fantastic. So there's a female vocalist and also playing keyboards and guitar.
Mm-hmm.
And then a male guitar player who also did some vocals. They're very fun. Good live show. Got some merch.
Nice, yeah. You know it's a good show when you get merch.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Support your local music. Yeah, so then we stuck around for the Stoneburner performance. I've talked about Stoneburner before. Stoneburner is probably one of my favorite bands.
Did you know that they were going to perform there?
Yeah.
Before?
Okay. Yeah.
So you're pretty psyched.
I was pretty psyched. We first came across Stoneburner at Dragon Con, and then a couple weeks later, for our anniversary, went and saw him play at the Drunken Unicorn in Atlanta.
Oh, wow.
And then this is our third time seeing him. So the first two times we saw him, basically, he was playing a rigged electronic drum kit himself with his hands. Uh-huh. So it had this like primal like club sound, right?
Yeah.
And then he had this microphone that he would howl a fake language into. Because the purpose of that, as it was explained to me by him, is it was what does dance music sound like on Arrakis from like Dune, right? And so that's what he's like. I love it. It's awesome.
So you got to talk to him afterwards?
Not this time.
Oh, okay.
This is back at Dragon Con.
Oh, okay.
But this time, so his, I've bought all of his stuff as it's come out. It's funny, I walked by his table that he was there with, because he has another band with someone else called Ego Likeness. And then, you know, while he was there, I was just kind of joking with him. I was like, when's your next album coming out? Because I want it ASAP. And he's like, it's coming. Come to our show on Sunday. It's going to be all the material from that.
Oh, cool.
So this version of Stoneburner, I like it as much. It's very different. Because like I said before, it was a one-man thing.
Mm-hmm.
Him playing electronic drums with his hands while singing, like chanting altered vocals that you couldn't really pick out what was being said because it's not in a real language.
Yeah.
This time, he's got two drummers behind him, both playing electronic kits, and then he's singing actual lyrics. So this is the first time moving forward with actual lyrics in it that are...
Original, right?
Yeah.
Original lyrics, okay.
So I'm really interested to see how this new album sounds. I like it just as much as the original. I'm sure there are going to be people that prefer one flavor over the other, but Stoneburner, hands down, is probably one of my favorite bands.
Oh,
so it was really good to see them.
You should definitely link it or link the.
Oh yeah, I'm definitely going to put that in there.
Yeah.
And then we
check them out.
We finished it up with Interface, which we saw them play like Adoration Destroyed. We saw them play at Convergence in Dallas a couple years ago, and they have more. They have more of like a dark alternative like rock feel because they've got, you know, bass player, keyboards, guitar player, drummer, and so theirs is more of a standard rock show.
Yeah.
I do like their sound and I do recommend seeing them live if they're ever playing in a club near you.
Nice. Because I assume most of these people aren't like super big where they're going to fill out like an arena or something like that.
These are people that play like theaters, clubs
small things that you can get into that are like,
but yeah, no, it is a really good show. I really cannot wait until it happens next year.
Are you going next year?
Yeah.
Nice. So you guys are planning, you've Have you booked your room? Is it something that you have?
No, not yet. Okay. Like, I'm just waiting for all of that to come out at this point. But, yeah. But yeah, no, I'm totally going back. And again, because I'm not part of a press pass situation, if there was anything that anyone disagrees with me about, you can send me an email at backrowsupershow@gmail.com.
Yeah.
It's been a while since I've been, so if I've fudged some of the responses, keep me honest. You can also send that, like I said, to backrowsupershow@gmail.com.
Why?
Or at our, or just corrections or whatever, okay. If I misspoke.
Yeah.
Any mistakes are mine. Just, like I said, go to all the links that I'll put in the show notes. Go to this convention. I love it. It was well attended.
And maybe we'll even try to get some press badges. If we do, I'll come along as well.
Yeah. Yeah, no. Well, and I love... Like I said, the thing that I liked about this show is the... Like with 221 BCon, it's big enough that you are interacting with a lot of people, but it's small enough that everything feels
organic.
Cordial and, like, you know, like, not to sound cheesy, but like family. Everything's interconnected. Everyone was super nice. Everyone was great to interact with.
That's cool. And I assume that there weren't, like, long lines to get to a lot of these panels.
Yeah, no. Yeah, like the Black Friday meet and greet and the bats panel were some of the two that you had to like line up to get into. Yeah.
But to get into some of the bands, all you had to do was like walk.
Oh,
yeah,
they were in a ballroom. Like there was no problem getting into see the bands or anything.
And was there, I guess, a dance floor where you could sort of like dance to the bands or cool.
Mm-hmm.
So there weren't like seating where you had to like sit down.
No.
Yeah, that's nice.
Yeah, it was all standing around. You could kind of lean against the wall if you like just got tired from dancing, like me, because I'm old. can't keep up.
Yeah. Well, that sounds like you guys had a lot of fun.
We did. Yeah, I fully intend on going back. This was fantastic. And yeah, like I said, just reach out to us at backrowsupershow@gmail.com or at Facebook. It's at Back Row Super Show, 4 separate words, and we're on Apple Podcasts.
Yeah.
If you are in or near the Atlanta area and you want to check out some of the local conventions coming up here, we will be at Outlanticon, which neither one of us have attended before, but everything that I've been able to read...
It looks super fun.
Fabulous. Should be a really good show.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, super excited to be going.
Yeah.
And
we'll definitely have a coverage on that one.
Yeah, we'll have a coverage with both of us talking.
Yeah.
So it'll be like one of our standard convention coverages.
Mm-hmm.
The book club book currently is Dr. Sleep, the sequel to The Shining.
Yeah, which we did a book report on, so definitely check that one out.
Book club. You keep calling them book reports.
Book club, book reports.
Book report, same thing.
Yeah, it's the same thing.
also, our Facebook page has the Nerd Fight, where we pit two separate...
IPs against each other.
Yeah, characters from IPs against each other, and we see who wins. Occasionally we do drawings and send out geeky, nerdy stuff.
Prizes!
To you guys who want to follow our page and also interact with us online.
Yeah. So, we appreciate all the interaction, too.
Yes, we do. So, until next time, we will talk to you all later.
See you guys later.
All right, bye.
Bye.